Good morning. As you all know, my name is Wendy. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Life Church. And I just want to pray for you this morning before I start. Father, I pray that today your words will resound in the hearts and the minds of those listening today. They need to hear from you, Lord. I pray a sensitivity as your spirit moves on them. Amen. Today, I'm going to continue with our series based in the book of Nehemiah. And today, I'll be focusing on the word reject or rejection. I'll be specifically looking at Nehemiah chapter 2, and in particular, verse 20. Reject or rejection. The word means to the dismissal or refusal of a proposal or an idea. And when we hear the word rejection, it tends to conjure up a sense of negative emotions. I know it certainly did in me when I was given this word. We've all been there, we've all experienced the pain that rejection can cause. In that job that you didn't get, that idea that was poo-pooed by your colleagues or superiors, or that relationship that didn't work out. Rejection often comes from others, from outside or without our physical boundaries. But it can also come from within, and it can be harder to deal with, you know, especially those external forces. The Bible tells us that we have an enemy who is destructive that comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy. But today I also want to look at rejection from another angle. Rejection can be a good thing. It can be to turn away or rebuff or renounce or decline, not accepting or receiving or considering something that would bring us harm. In doing so, rejection in this manner can change our lives for the better. It can be an opportunity to rediscover or reevaluate or explore different paths. It can teach us how not to be afraid. And I'm just amazed how God moves, because a lot of the worship songs that we've sung so far this morning have got those resounding elements in them. I came across this wonderful quote by C.S. Lewis. It says, "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." And the Bible tells us that as Christians that we will face hard times. And if you're familiar with the book of Nehemiah, I'd encourage you to read it if you're not. You'll see that he too faced hard times. I've mentioned that we have an enemy that is disruptive, but we have a God who is indestructible, who creates, who saves, and who restores. When we join Nehemiah in chapter 2, he's had his request to go to the city approved by the king. Indeed, he's been given letters and resources, like the cavalry, to access resources and to provide protection while he goes around his duties. This has caused dismay from others in the city, particularly city officials, and they come up against him, rejecting his ideas. But Nehemiah was there in the city for 3 days before he started to do any work. At night, he went out and he examined the city walls, and he saw for himself the ruins of the walls of Jerusalem. It was after that he then says to the people, "Let us start rebuilding." And as soon as they do so, they meet opposition from officials who reject their ideas, who mocked and ridiculed them. And in verse 20, this is Nehemiah's answer and rejection to them. "I answered them by saying, 'The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it.'" The construction project that Nehemiah and the Jewish people undertook was not without opposition throughout. They faced threats, insults, ridicule, and even sabotage. It would be so easy for them to have got bogged down and focus on the enormity of the task ahead. But Nehemiah not only trusted God, but he organised, he managed, he supervised, and he encouraged, and he persevered until the walls were rebuilt. He knew the significance of the walls. We've heard before when Mark preached that the walls were there for protection and to preserve those within them. With the walls lying in ruin, the people had become accustomed to living unprotected from the things that would harm them, robbing them of their protection, stealing their identity as the children of God, set apart and holy, and destroying their future, being a city that was laid to waste. But God, as we know, had a plan. So what does all this teach us? The walls were broken down in the physical sense, but there was also a spiritual meaning. The rebuilding was not just the beginning of the restoration that God would bring. In doing so, we need to be aware of our walls that are broken down or compromised, and on about our physical, mental, and spiritual walls. And to do that, we need wisdom. Wisdom to know what and how to do. As we read Nehemiah, God gave him a strategy and a plan. We also have to continually rebuild by rejecting anything that doesn't align with the word and the statutes of God. Get into the word. It's our daily bread. It gives us that sustenance that we need. And not only that, we also need to be watchmen on the walls. You'll read in Nehemiah that even after the walls were built, there were watchmen placed on the walls. And those watchmen were ready and alert to the attacks of the enemy from without and within. We need to equip ourselves as warriors, putting on the full armour of God. And the key to all this is prayer. Going to look a little bit more about on wisdom. When we pray for wisdom, we are seeking and asking God for his direction and discernment. In Proverbs 2, verse 2, it says, "Turn your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding." Further on in that chapter, it says that God gives wisdom. We need to know how to pray. Next one, the word. Search God's word and pray according to it. Know God's promises and plans for you in whatever season you find yourself in. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." So you need to know those promises and plans that God has specifically for your life. And in doing all that, we also need to stand and pray and persevere. Like Nehemiah and the Jewish people, being a prayer warrior is equipping yourself in the full armour of God. And don't stop when the walls until your walls have been re-established, and even then, still pray. Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7, "I have posted watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth, i.e. a city no longer deserted." Power is released when we speak God's word and tell of his previous deliverances. Now, Nehemiah focuses on physically rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And for those of you who know me, I love to paint stones. I'm part of Litchfield kindness rocks. And stones are really significant in the Bible. And I want to share with you two stones and then bring all this to a conclusion. The first stone is the Ebenezer Stone. This is the stone of help. Samuel the prophet set up a stone to commemorate and recall, to remember, the help that God had given the Israelites. And he named it Ebenezer and said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." It's a testimony to what God, of God's goodness, his deliverance and his grace in the path. And when we are facing hardships or trials and troubles, we too can raise an Ebenezer stone, testifying to the goodness and deliverance that God has done in the past and will do again. So my question to you, if you're going through hardships, what do you need to remember or to recall? The power of a testimony is amazing, and those can help other people that are facing things raise that, look to that Ebenezer stone and know that God has helped thus far and will do in the future. The next stone I want to point out is the cornerstone. This is often the first stone that is laid and acts as a reference for all other stones. It sets their alignment, keeping the line straight and true. And without it, the whole structure would collapse. Jesus is the chief cornerstone who ensures the stability of the whole of our salvation. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, it says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for the foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Jesus himself faced rejection, ridicule, and mockery. But Psalm 18, 22 tells us that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So in Christ, we do have a firm foundation, an immovable one. So as I conclude, Nehemiah had his faith tested, but he persevered and prayed in the midst of the threats. He rejected the words from the naysayers, and he kept to God's standards. And he ensured too that the people knew the standards that they were to live by. And he remembered what God had said and what God had done. So we too, we will have our faith tested. But rejection, although can be a negative thing, can also be a good thing. We can reject anything that doesn't align up to the promises and the word of God spoken to us or for our lives. But like Nehemiah too, we can persevere and pray in all circumstances. If our walls have been compromised, broken, or even in ruins, we can rebuild. We can seek wisdom. We can search God's word. We can stand and pray and persevere. We can remember, we can raise an Ebenezer and testify to God's goodness. And we can also be assured that we have a firm foundation, a chief cornerstone to align our lives to his standards and his precepts. I also want to offer the opportunity for us as leaders to pray for you if you feel that your walls are broken or compromised or you need to realign them. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and take this opportunity. I'm going to ask Mark and Juliet to come forward. And if you want us to pray with you, please come forward and we'll pray with you.